group.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, and I hope you were listening in the last half hour. Pastor Lutz did an outstanding job talking about this recent bill. It's House Resolution 8404 that was passed initially in the House, the U.S. House, then it went to the Senate, and then back to the House, and it was a little updated form, and then it was passed with about 39 Republicans joining in with it. The vote was 258 to 169, 258 for, 169 against, I believe one abstention, and that's all the Democrats plus 39 Republicans joined in supporting this bill called the Respect for Marriage Act, and it's really the Disrespect for Marriage Act. And I thought that Pastor Lutz did a great job talking about this in the last half hour, but I'm also going to be touching on it, but we're going to be looking at a few more things along with that. And so I encourage you to stay with us here this afternoon, and we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. And again, we see what's happening in the world around us, Lord, and it's clear that we can only go so far with the things that we do. And we know that what we read in the Bible is true. And we know that there are difficult times coming for this world. But Lord, help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us to be salt and light in the midst of a decaying and increasingly darkening world. And use us again to point people to Christ that are searching, and to encourage believers in their walk with you, and also to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't really want to start off on kind of a dark tone here today with the program, but you know, when this thing passed, and unfortunately, I am not surprised that it passed, and I'm just surprised that so many Republicans voted for it. Some, such as Representative Kerry, ran for Congress on a position suggesting that they are pro-family, pro-traditional marriage, and some of these people like that voted for it. We saw the same thing in the Senate when we had Senator Blunt and Senator Ernst vote for it in the Senate. We had 12 Republicans in the Senate that voted for it. And I know you've heard a lot about this if you've been listening to the radio much, but basically this bill is to protect same-sex marriages. They also mention interracial marriages. It's just to give it an air of legitimacy and to tie it in with something that has a little more basis in fact. We may get back to that in a little bit. But it's to protect same-sex marriages at the federal level. It's on to Biden for his signature. And this is a bill that is going to put in federal law protections for same-sex marriage and interracial marriage. Well, we already have protection for interracial marriage, and besides, interracial marriage is marriage between a man and a woman. And, you know, interracial marriage, there's been a lot of arguments in the past, but I think we've crossed that bridge a long time ago. They're trying to say that the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, when he was making comments in the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe, was making comments that, in his opinions, that could scrap protections for same-sex marriages and other things. And they were trying to imply that the same-sex marriage would be scrapped potentially or looked at. Hey, heads up. Clarence Thomas is black. His wife is white. He's in an interracial marriage. Somehow I don't think Clarence Thomas is going to be leading a crusade against interracial marriage. But anyway, and again, there's really nothing really in the Bible against interracial marriage. Marriage in the Bible always is a man and a woman. It was that way in the very beginning. And I know Pastor Lutz in the last half hour covered some of these things, but we will have to touch on a few just to keep us up to date here. But in Genesis chapter 3, and we also talked about this last week at length as well, but in Genesis chapter 3, when God created Eve out of the rib of Adam, it says in verse 22, "In the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And this was God's purpose in creating the union between a husband and a wife. We talked about this as well in Ephesians, where Paul is talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife and a family. He's also talking about several other types of relationships there. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says in verse 28, he says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And so the relationship between the husband and the wife, between the man and the woman in the bounds of matrimony, is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. This is why marriage is under attack today. This is why we're seeing a disruption in the natural order, an actual destruction, I should say, of what marriage is supposed to be. And of course, the left and the supporters of same-sex marriage is all about love. It's all about love. If two people love each other, what can we say? It's all about love. No, it's not just about love. It's also about the Bible, and it's about what is right and what is wrong. Well, this bill's gone to Biden's desk. It actually, as I said, passed the House in a 258-469 against, one abstention. 39 Republicans joined all the Democrats. Won bipartisan support in the Senate. Earlier in November, where 12 of the Republicans, including Ohio's Rob Portman, voted for this. And then, of course, earlier in the summer, they had 47 Republicans, believe it or not, in the House that voted for this. Now, the version that was passed yesterday contained an amendment providing for additional protections for religious liberty and faith-based nonprofits. This was something that they used to swing some of the Republicans voting for it. Now, I want to mention, of course, that this version that had the amendment providing religious protections is a watered-down amendment that the Senate put in. The Senate rejected three stronger amendments that would have really had some teeth to protect people of faith, to protect churches, to protect religious nonprofits. The Lee Amendment, the Lankford Amendment and the Rubio Amendments, and they were all rejected. Now, this bill with the watered-down one, which means that churches and faith-based nonprofits and potentially small business owners and things with Christian base or Christian beliefs are going to be at risk, legal risk. This is going to get rid of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which was signed into law by Bill Clinton. And this one here denied federal benefits, but permitted states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. But then we had the Obergefell decision, which came along in 2015. And let me get back to this: the Obergefell decision in 2015. Was a significant ruling. It started with, let's see here. There was United States actually versus Windsor in 2013, then Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015. But these actually have taken some of the key provisions of the Defense of Marriage Act out. And so we'll look at a couple things here talking about this today. But as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Encourage you to check us out there. But for time's sake here, I want to move on, continuing with our discussion of H.R. 8404 that just passed in the House and is on its way to Joe Biden's desk. But here's something that this made me think about. Back a few years ago, we had in Ohio, and it's been considered a couple of times, what was called at the time the Pastor's Protection Act. And no doubt some of our people remember this. Just a few years ago, in 2017, they tried in 2018. And I actually had the opportunity to go down to the State House and deliver testimony on the Pastor's Protection Act, I believe both in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate side. And I was looking back over some of the things that I had in my testimonies again down in Columbus for the Pastor's Protection Act. And I thought some of the stuff that I had here really is has bearing on what is just happening, what we're seeing with H.R. 8404. And in my testimonies before the State House, before the Senate and the House of Representatives down in Columbus at different times, I made the statement. I said, I believe that the Ohio Pastor Protection Act is needed to help preserve and protect religious liberty in Ohio. When the United States Supreme Court issued its now infamous ruling in the Obergefell case on June 26, 2015, the majority opinion decreed that same-sex marriage is protected by the 14th Amendment and should not be discriminated against. Dissenting opinions disagreed strongly, declaring the majority opinion unconstitutional, a threat to religious liberties, and an abuse of judicial power. Now, this statement that they said that it's protected by the 14th Amendment should not be discriminated against, this is partly what H.R. 8404, the act that was just passed in the House yesterday, is supposed to support. It's supposed to protect same-sex marriages. And at the time of the passage of the Obergefell case, Chief Justice Roberts, who dissented, said, five lawyers have closed the debate and enacted their own vision of marriages as a matter of constitutional law. Stealing this issue from the people will for many cast a cloud over same-sex marriage, making a dramatic social change that much more difficult to accept. Justice Scalia, the late Justice Scalia, said, "Today's decree says that my ruler and the ruler of 320 million Americans coast to coast is the majority of the nine lawyers on the Supreme Court." We also had Justice Thomas weigh in, saying, "The court's decision today is at odds not only with the Constitution, but with the principles upon which our nation was built. Since well before 1787, liberty has been understood as freedom from government action, not entitlement to government benefits." And this is important to consider as well, because that's part of what this House resolution is supposed to take care of. It's supposed to guarantee government benefits. And it also squelches freedom from government action, actually. And so we're going to continue here. Justice Alito also weighed in. "Today's decision shows that decades of attempts to restrain this court's abuse of its authority have failed. A lesson that some will take from today's decision is that preaching about the proper method of interpreting the Constitution or the virtues of judicial self-restraint and humility cannot compete with the temptation to achieve what is viewed as a noble end by any practical means." And that basically meant that they recognized, Justice Alito recognized, that the court was legislating from the bench. Now, we have a constitution that separates the powers. The legislative powers are given to the House and the Senate, the legislative side of government. And they and they alone are given the constitutional responsibility and authority to create laws. The courts are the judicial side of government. They can judge and evaluate the constitutionality of laws that are passed by the legislative side. They can make judgments in interpreting some of those laws, but they cannot, constitutionally, they cannot form laws from the bench. But as Justice Alito said here, the temptation to achieve what is viewed as a noble end by any practical means means who cares what the Constitution says? Let's simply legislate from the bench. And then, of course, there's the executive side of government. They're supposed to execute the laws, carry out the laws and regulations and such that are compiled by Congress. And, of course, the executive side is not constitutionally allowed to make laws either, but tell that to the myriad of agencies of the executive branch of the government that put out regulations and things that are just as binding, if not more so, and certainly more onerous many times than the laws and the regulations that are put out by the legislative side of government. Well, Justice Alito actually made mention during the oral arguments with Donald Verrilli, who was then the Solicitor General of the United States. And he said, and they were talking about relating same-sex marriage. And this is why I wanted to revisit this, because the H.R. 8404 claims to protect interracial marriage along with same-sex marriage. And as I said, they tied the interracial in to give it a little more legitimacy and also to blur the lines that this is a completely different thing. Two men or two women is completely different than a man and a woman, regardless of the color of their skin. But Alito referenced the interracial marriage argument and concerns when discussing the Obergefell case, the ruling for or against same-sex marriage the court was considering. And he said, well, in the Bob Jones case, the court held that a college was not entitled to tax-exempt status if it opposed interracial marriage or interracial datings. So would the same apply to a university or college if it opposed same-sex marriage? Now, this is a very prescient question, isn't it? Because guess what now we have? We have a federal law, just like we did made Bob Jones a conservative Christian college in South Carolina. At the time, had tax-exempt status, and they were told that they would lose that because of their prohibition, their ban on interracial dating and marriage at their school, and they changed that so not to lose their tax-exempt status. Well, Donald Varelli said, "You know, I don't think I can answer that question without knowing more specifics, but it's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. I don't deny that, Justice Alito. It is going to be an issue." Well, guess what? Here it is. It is an issue. We see it before us right now being codified into federal law. And the United States Commission on Civil Rights back in 2016 issued a report entitled "Peaceful Coexistence: Recognizing Non-Discrimination Principles with Civil Liberties." And they said this. This is the chairman, Martin Castro, stated this in the report. "The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. Religious liberty was never intended to give one religion dominion over other religions or a veto power over the civil rights and civil liberties of others. This generation of Americans must stand up and speak out to ensure that religion never again be twisted to deny others the full promise of America." I would submit that Chairman Castro's remarks in 2016 have come true today. They're telling religious Americans, they're telling Christians in America that you are not allowed now to stand up, speak out, because your religion is not going to be allowed to be twisted to deny others the full promise of America. You are not going to be allowed to discriminate, to be intolerant of, to be homophobic, to have any form of intolerance against the freedom of others. And what they're doing is they're putting the implied freedoms of homosexuals to be superior to the codified freedoms of religious people in the Constitution. They're right there written out black and white. They're saying that the implied freedoms and feelings of people in same-sex marriages is more important than what's written in the Constitution. The Bill of Rights, Amendment Number 1, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." I would submit that H.R. 8404 has just violated the First Amendment. They are enacting what Chairman Castro said, that Christian liberty, religious liberty, is not allowed to discriminate and deny others the full promise of America. Castro, in his statement, followed a section, the findings and recommendations of the same report in 2016, that said the Obergefell versus Hodge U.S. Supreme Court recognized the 14th Amendment grants civil liberty or full marriage equality to same-sex couples throughout the nation. Prior to this ruling, during the commission's briefing, panelists and University of California Davis Law School professor Alan Brownstein referred to government recognition of marriage equality as a moral necessity. Religious exemptions to the protection of civil rights based on classifications such as race, color, national origin, sex, disability status, sexual orientation, gender identity, when they are permissible, significantly infringe upon these civil rights. These people have been working nonstop to restrict our religious ability so that we see the fruit of their efforts today in H.R. 8404. Friends, we need to pray for our country. You know, I think the return of Christ is near. Jesus said it would be as it was in the days of Noah, lawlessness, violence, wickedness. It would be as the days as it was in Lot, moral and sexual immorality and moral failure. And we see that today being codified into our federal law. Pray for America, but don't give up. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I hope you know Christ as your Savior.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.